Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke. Chris Loffery and I are filling in for Lori Walsh this morning. Big news this morning comes from Avera Health, as they have received a $7.8 million grant from the Leona M. and Harry B. Helmsley Charitable Trust to build a 24-hour telemedicine behavioral health team as part of Avera eCare. The team will provide care out of Avera eCare's virtual hub, both in and out of the hospital. And we're grateful to be joined this morning by Walter Panzer, trustee of the Helmsley Charitable Trust. Mr. Panzer, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yeah, nice to have you with us. Also with us on telephone is Dr. Matthew Stanley, Clinical Vice President of Avera's Behavioral Health Service Line. Dr. Stanley, welcome as well.
Yeah, glad to be here on this exciting morning.
It is. And also with us is CEO of Avera eCare, Deanna Larson. Deanna, welcome to you.
Yes, good morning. It's a wonderful day for us.
Yeah, as Dr. Stanley said, it is very exciting. As CEO of Avera eCare, Deanna, tell us how this affects Avera, how it changes the face of healthcare, and what this will do for South Dakota.
Sure. What this actually will do is it will extend the current telehealth network that we have, actually giving us the opportunity to hire a 24/7 team, psychiatrists, nurse practitioners, counselors, social workers, to really now be able to reach out to all of those geographies with behavioral health services supporting people where they live.
Is there a difference between telehealth and eCare?
So telehealth oftentimes is referred to as a service, and often people think about technology, you know, what is that technology? What eCare actually does is it aligns finding the right level of specialty practitioner services, physicians, to be connected to the other end of that technology. So we use a subscription fee to make sure clinics and hospitals out in our rural geographies have access to the specialists in particular. We pay a little less attention to the technology piece as we talk about this and really focus on the clinicians that we're providing and making available to patients in those locations.
Sure. Dr. Stanley, if you could explain the need, first of all, for this and the potential impact of the grant and the eCare.
Yeah, it's almost hard to estimate the potential impact because I think it can be staggering. But one of the things that we know in the United States today is we have a number of behavioral health crises going on, whether you look at the opioid epidemic or whether you look at the rising suicide rates. We have issues in healthcare and in society that need to be addressed, and we need trained behavioral health specialists to provide access to patients that need care. It's extremely difficult to get access in rural areas of the Midwest, and particularly in South Dakota, but that's true across the entire country. So I think that one of the most impressive things about this grant is just the fact that the Helmsley Trust has the vision to see potential solutions to critical problems like this. And by having trained psychiatrists and other trained behavioral health specialists available in emergency rooms across the Midwest, including small hospitals, critical access hospitals that exist in some of the smallest rural communities in South Dakota and in the Midwest, this will allow access to patients that literally had no chance to get access in an emergent situation, at least not without, you know, several hours of driving. So this model, if we can do it well and others can replicate it or we can replicate it across the U.S., could really be a game changer in these kind of medical and societal behavioral health crises we're trying to deal with.
Yeah. Deanna, will this be available to basically everybody, people from varying professions, like law enforcement, those that are sometimes in need of help with situations they've had to deal with on the job?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of the innovation and development that the trust has in, you know, really given us the funding and entrusted us to do. So we are aware that oftentimes rescue workers, meaning, you know, it could be ambulance workers, or it could be the fire, fire response people, are called to homes, and they're actually trying to deal with a behavioral health event. So if in the year two, if we can create this mobile opportunity to really take the those workers responding to those calls, really take the behavioral health team with them,
sure.
so they can assist with assessments in people's homes or wherever that call came from.
I see. Let me bring Mr. Panzer into the conversation. Walter Panzer, trustee of the Helmsley Charitable Trust. I'm really interested. You have a great relationship with South Dakota, as we can see here by this generous grant this morning. Your interest in healthcare, the Helmsley Charitable Trust has been very involved in science and in healthcare. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a background and why this was a project that you were interested in helping out?
Sure. The Helmsley Charitable Trust has been extremely interested in healthcare. Upon inception of the trust, it was really one of the focus areas of my grandmother and grandfather's past giving throughout their lifetime before they passed on. And really, we looked at rural health care as a unique place. We knew there was extreme high need in rural health care, and there weren't any larger foundations participating in rural health care funding. And so that's kind of why we funded in rural health care. But for mental health and this grant specifically, we recognize that the trust that mental health care is sometimes extremely difficult to find in South Dakota and in rural America. And when it is there, it's not available 24/7. This grant will allow 24/7 coverage of services, meeting people where they are, meeting them sometimes hopefully at their home in year two. And when you look at that standpoint, there is so much that can be done and so much that will be done and so much money and time that will be saved. People will get care at their home. This will help avoid unnecessary travel. As you are probably well know, if you have a mental health care crisis in sometimes in rural parts of South Dakota, the closest place where the sheriff deputy would have to take them would be Yankton or Sioux Falls or Rapid City on the western side for assessments.
Right.
This brings the assessment tool into the local community and allows the trained medical professionals to determine if they need a higher level of care or if they can be serviced with services that are found in the community and avoid the transports and avoid the sheriff deputy from being out taking sometimes 6, 7, 8 hours of their time, if not more, and the folks on the rural ambulances as well. So this addresses the needs of South Dakota, because mental health care is in, like Dr. Stanley stated, is in such need everywhere. And you really see it magnified here based on our lack of workforce at times.
Right. And I know you spend a lot of time dealing with people in the healthcare industry, people that are involved in science and research. Is this kind of like the next step in the behavioral health process, mental health care? We hear so much about mental health in the news now because of incidents that happen in our country on a small up to very large scale. Is this kind of like the next step in treatment and finding a solution here, especially as you said, in these areas that are not quite as sparsely populated?
Well, this is one piece of the puzzle. There are so many pieces that have to be addressed here. This is one massive piece where it will address, like you said, sparsely populated areas. But there are workforce issues, too. In Montana, we have funded psychiatric residency programs in Montana to try to boost this number of psychiatrists entering residency and choosing to stay in rural America. That's hugely important because there's a psychiatrist shortage across the upper Midwest. There's also, we have to reduce stigma. That's another issue, too, because let's be real. you call 911 if you're having a mental health care crisis or attempt suicide or anything like that. Law enforcement shows up. A lot of these smaller communities, they don't have the facilities to deal with this type of issues. And sometimes these folks will show up in jail. And mental health is a medical condition, not a jailable condition. And when you look at the big picture of things, that's the only medical condition that sometimes gets treated with law enforcement, mm-hmm. right or wrong. But we need to improve that, and that's what this grant will do, will allow trained medical professionals and a trained medical team assist law enforcement, assist first responders to get these people that are in crisis to have the appropriate treatment. And then the last facet, too, that the Helmsley Charitable Trust is working towards, where this doesn't address, but you brought up the issue of other areas of mental health, is getting to the patients earlier before they're in crisis.
Right.
So what does that really mean? That really means having a fully integrated system where if you go to a doctor for a cold, you're getting screened for mental health would be the long-term solution. And being able to access mental health care, counseling services, and everything else at one place and being seen at one time. That's the long-term goal. But there's so many issues where mental health care comes in, where there's so many pieces of the puzzle. But this will handle a significant piece of this puzzle.
Yes. Dr. Stanley, I understand there's also money provided here for a telehealth certificate program. Are you able to touch on that?
Yeah. So, again, I want to just compliment the Helmsley Trust and Walter Panzer for the vision, because as you heard Walter describe, we have a shortage of providers literally nationally, but probably more pronounced in areas like South Dakota and the Midwest. And even when we do have providers that are trained, they're often uncomfortable or don't feel competent in providing care over telemedicine. So they kind of confine their practice to the brick and mortar, the office practice that also confines them to towns like Sioux Falls. So that means people have to travel hours to see a specialist. It also means that when we build out programs like 24/7 psychiatric access through telemedicine, we have a limited pool of applicants, a limited pool of physicians and psychiatrists that are comfortable in that environment. So we have a planning grant to develop a training certificate that would establish levels of competency or train physicians so they're confident delivering care in that telemedicine environment. I think as we're also seeing healthcare kind of evolve into this digital world, we also have to look at from the patient standpoint what we're going to establish as standards of care and expectations of delivery of care to protect the patient when they're receiving this telemedicine. So I think when we look at training programs, they not only hopefully expand the pool of applicants, kind of expand the workforce and attract the workforce for us, but it also helps to develop that standard of care so that patients that receive telemedicine can have a greater level of confidence that they're getting a high-quality, accessible healthcare experience.
We are just about out of time, but I do have one more quick question. Deanna Larson, again, CEO of Averic eCare. Deanna, can you tell us about the implementation and when patients can expect to have this available?
Yes, well, as funding has been announced, and we have already started to hire some of the support team for the 24 hours of coverage 7 days a week. So this team will coalesce together and really start the final stages of planning and implementation. So we're hopeful that we'll have services up and running in these winter months, and specifically hoping the February-March timeframe.